my name is Ashley Hill, and welcome to the Ashley Hill Podcast. I am your host. I am a best-selling author and scholarship search strategist. Join me as I talk about lifestyle, personal finance, and personal development with my amazing guest. Let's get started. All right, so welcome everyone to the podcast. I'm really excited about this guest. We grew up together, lived in Cincinnati together for a while, love her family. So I'm so excited to have on here Dr. Blair Chance. So welcome, Dr. Chance.
Thank you, Ashley. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, I'm so excited. I'll tell everybody, I've been wanting to have you on for a while, and we're going to get into this a little bit later, but your brand, like, I love the fact that you're not only a physician doing amazing work, but that you take the time out of your busy schedule to make sure that our blood pressure is good, that we're staying active every day. And you don't just say it, but you show us. So I appreciate you for doing that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. One thing, I just recently got my master's of public health.
Yay!
University of South Carolina in, you know, you have two concentrations, you have epidemiology and you also have health promotion. I dabbled in both. And I think one of the things is that behavior, you know, we have disease, and in America, we've been fortunate to deal with more chronic disease rather than infectious disease, like we see in some of our third world countries. But with chronic disease, a lot of it is behavioral in nature. So, and a lot of it can be prevented, and my specialty is in prevention. So if we can, you know, well, I say diet and exercise, but if we eat properly and we exercise and if we have role models and we have ways to do it, I feel like the American population is more likely to participate.
I agree. And, you know, what I love, too, is that you're a young physician. So that's encouraging to the millennials. Well, I know everyone, but I think especially important for, I'm going to say, our age group, you know, that 20s, 30s, you know, even some of the early 40s group. It's encouraging for them, too, because you're showing that you can balance a career. You can have fun, because we're going to talk about how you love to travel. And I live through you traveling.
I have a trip planned in, too, in a week.
Wow. Now that's awesome. Okay. and then on top of that, you're still, you know, we see you cooking, you know, for yourself, and you're still doing fun, healthy meals that look good. And I know they taste good.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
You're welcome. So let me get into this. So let's start at your journey. So let's say you're in undergrad and you're in that application process, getting ready to, you know, take your MCAT. Kind of start us from there and then take us through to med school.
Sure, not a problem. So I'm a proud graduate of the Capital University in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah.
Some of you might have not heard of it, but it's a small private Lutheran school. I'm about maybe 15 minutes from Ohio State. So I graduated in December of 2010, and I was back and forth with what I wanted to do when I graduate. I initially started off as a nursing major, talked to a couple of my nursing professors, as well as did a little bit of shadowing of nurse practitioners as well as physicians, and I kind of deviated and went more towards a biology degree. And I was hesitant and didn't really know if I was competitive enough to apply to medical school. So when I graduated in December of 2010, I took about 6 months off just to relax and to study for the MCAT. I didn't apply for the MCAT until I think it was November, like during that next following application year. So if I graduated in December 2010, I didn't apply until it was like fall of 2011, I believe. Mm-hmm. So I applied to only maybe about five schools or so. And I honestly, Ashley, I know you do a lot with scholarships, but I wasn't really aware that there were scholarships available for medical school.
Mm-hmm.
So I just didn't really know how I was going to pay for it. I just knew that it's something that I wanted to do. So in the meantime, I moved back home with my parents in Cincinnati, and I did long-term substitute teaching at Wynnewood High School, actually. I know
Awesome.
you're right. I know you're a Pilar alumnus of them, alumni of them. But
Yeah.
I did some long-term substitute teaching, and during that time, I actually had an opportunity to fulfill a dream of mine was to be a basketball coach. So I helped.
Wow.
I really volunteered with the girls' basketball team there. And during that time, I just studied for the MCAT, and I did a Kaplan. I forget which one. It was either like a Kaplan or a Princeton online course to kind of help me prepare for the MCAT. And I do remember when I was at Cornell, while Cornell doing a summer research program back in the summer of 2010. I remember one of the young ladies who was a second year medical student at the time there said, "Practice questions, practice questions, practice questions, practice questions." You know, there's a pattern to the questions. So if you really do your questions, just make sure that after you're done with the practice test or the questions, you go over all of them, even if you got the question right. Because sometimes you'll get the question right and you see how you got about it was all wrong. You know, or sometimes you got the question wrong, but your process was right. So, I mean, with a lot of the review books, just go back and look at the explanations, whether you got the questions right or wrong. So I took the MCAT twice, and I didn't do too well the first time, but I did do better the second time. And I applied. And there's like a two, things have changed. So I don't know if it's still the same, but there was like a two-step process. Like you have like, they call you back or they send you an email and say, "Hey, you've made the first step, you know, now apply for the second step." I went through a couple of that, did some in-person interviews, and I finally chose Indiana University in Indianapolis. So something about Indiana University is that it's the only medical school in the state of Indiana, and but it has satellite campuses. So for the first
Wow.
2 years, I did my, and again, medical school has changed, but my first 2 years, I did my in-class work, which was like traditional lecture style, like 8 hours of lecture, 5 days a week.
Wow.
Right. Things have, they've moved more towards problem-based learning now. They were kind of transitioning with that while I was still in medical school. But at the time, I did my first 2 years just strictly like old school lectures, professor lecturing 8 hours a day for the first 2 years, and then I did my clinicals rotations where you know you spend your the majority of time in the hospital in Indianapolis at the county hospital, which is Wishart, which is now Eskenazi, which is like this big fancy glass hospital, Riley Children's Hospital, and I think the VA and things of that sort. So that takes me through the 4 years of undergrad. Oh, excuse me, 4 years undergrad and 4 years in medical school. At the time when I was in medical school, I actually wanted to be a cardiothoracic surgeon.
Wow.
Yeah, right. I wanted to do heart surgery, and
Yeah.
I'm blanking on her name right now, but there is a board certified African American female cardiothoracic surgeon on the East Coast. And I actually reached out to her not thinking that she was going to actually reply back, and she did. And my schedule didn't work out, but I didn't have the opportunity to actually go and operate with her. But I had to come to Jesus. Well, like we're both Christians, and I had to come to Jesus moment. And not my will, but thy will be done, you know.
That's right.
So I was upset with God. I mean, essentially, you had to go through the match process. So I end up matching into family medicine and not cardiothoracic surgery. And I was upset about the whole process, but God has a plan for your life. And now that I look and see how my life has turned out, I wouldn't have been able to be about my father's business if I would have went the cardiothoracic surgery route. And not to say that the cardiothoracic surgery is not a bad profession, but it's very demanding. You're on call all the time. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, we work crazy hours as a physician, you know, anyway, but primary care physician hours are totally different than, you know, surgery hours. So, when I matched into family medicine, I went to the University of Alabama. I did my intern year there in family medicine, and it was a great learning opportunity. It was a time of growth for me. It was a time for me to mature spiritually, as well as academically and professionally. Mm-hmm. And then I decided to pursue preventive medicine at Prisma Health. Well, at the time it was Palmetto Health, but they were bought out by Prisma in Columbia, South Carolina, as well as focus on prevention, family medicine and prevention, as well as get an additional degree and master's in public health. And it was really God, because towards the end of when I was getting ready to graduate, that's when Corona really hit. Mm-hmm. I was looking at, you know, public health, population health, you know, we don't get a lot of press. We don't get a lot of publicity, but it's almost kind of like a cult. It's kind of like the culture of medicine is, it's like, oh, specialty care, you know, and primary care and prevention kind of gets placed on a back burner. But COVID really exposed the importance of primary care and prevention, you know? So it's like when COVID happened, everyone was going back to basics. Hey, wash your hands, you know, wear a mask, prevention, you know, and then you guys might not know this, but from a medical standpoint, a lot of the specialty services got shut down. And that's not to say that you don't need specialty care, but all of the more elective procedures were stopped, and only kind of like primary care, things that were more life threatening, like emergency, or, you know, things were still active. And the CDC really played a big role, and I had the opportunity to, during my last 6 months before graduation, I had the opportunity to sit on some of the CDC calls.
Wow.
Be a part of the protocol and some of the guidelines for the state of South Carolina.
That's awesome.
I know, right? And I really got to see how, you know, emergency preparedness and population health and public health and healthcare all really worked together, because I was in, and it's got us so amazing, because it's like, you know, he will put you before kings and queens and people of great men, you know, I mean, you have the governor of South Carolina on the phone, you have the CEO, you know, CMO, all these different letters at the end of the names, you know, in these meetings, and I'm sitting there, of course, I'm not saying anything, but I am, you know, I wasn't at the table, but I was sitting at the surrounding chairs around the table, you know, having the opportunity to hear some of these big decisions that were being made for the state of South Carolina. So it was just a great opportunity that I had the opportunity to learn during, just with COVID. And then kind of transitioning to where I am now here in Huntsville. I'm in clinical care. I'm working at a doctor's office here.
Great.
I'm seeing patients, and it's amazing how you have the ability. I have the ability to treat patients on the entire ecological model. So for anyone who studied, you know, like who's public health or even just human behavior, they've probably heard of the ecological model, where you have like, it's like maybe four or five rings, kind of like targets, like circles within circles. You have the individual level, like kind of the, I'm doing this off the top of my head, the the individual level, then you have like the community level, and then you have like the federal level or the public level. And essentially it's amazing, because in order to heal people, doctors or nurse practitioners and nurses have the opportunity to help people on the individual level, but don't necessarily have the ability to heal people or to help people on a larger scale. But getting involved with the community, getting involved with public policy, getting involved with your local government, or just even by, you know, what we did yesterday, just by voting, that's when you have the opportunity to actually make change on a more state level, on a more national level. And that's where I try to take that ecological model and try to apply it into how to help people. So I understand I can only see one patient realistically every 15 to 20 minutes, you know, and on And it varies. I can see anywhere from 30, and depending on what it is that we're doing, if we're just doing a COVID test, I can see anywhere from 30 to maybe 60 people a day, you know.
Wow.
But right, but it, okay, some of those people are just getting tests too, though. I mean, we're not
Okay.
doing a complete physical exam, but what I'm saying is I can see maybe from anywhere from 30 to 60 people a day.
Yeah.
But what I mean by that is that, okay, I understand, but even seeing those 30, 60 people a day, I have the opportunity to reach more people by using a social media platform.
Yes.
You know, so it's just like, okay, if I, you know, being HIPAA compliant, okay, if I see, man, I saw maybe somebody had some blood pressure today, or maybe this person, I had a conversation about, you know, diet and exercise, or I had a conversation about, hey, yeah, doc, you know, this is happening, but I don't have time to do it. And it's just like, okay, I get it. So a lot of times my posts are inspired by real life patient encounters. Obviously I'll de-identify everything, but a lot of times they'll be inspired by patient encounters or things that are happening in the news, you know? So it's just like, for instance, with the election, okay, I'm not going to promote red or blue, but what I can do is that, okay, voting in this election will have impact on your healthcare benefits, because I do have patients come in and say, hey, my blood pressure is high because I ran out of my blood pressure medicine. Well, why? Well, because I can't afford it. Okay, so that's why. So bringing it back in to say, okay, hey, that's why it's important for you to vote,
That's
because
right.
depending on whoever you choose, they're going to try to raise prescription drug prices, or they're trying to cut out Medicare because you're over 65 and you don't, your Medicare doesn't cover this and this and this and this. So that's why I try to use social media positively to try to really inform. And that's really going back, like I said, to bring everything full circle to address the ecological model for behavior change and to make, you know, Huntsville, you know, as well as America, a better place.
Yes, and you do an excellent job. For everybody listening, I'm gonna have Blair Dr. Chance's social media handles for you to follow, because it's such relevant information, like she said. And like you said, your post just yesterday, I was able to look at both of them and say, you know, wow, for those that don't want to be involved in voting, this is why you need to vote. If this, if only for this matter, you know, of
Right.
healthcare. So if you can get into, so I got you actually kind of prompted another question. So first of all, the fact that you're an African American female physician, when we live in a country where that is a minority, is huge. And so I want to ask, and you know, as much as you want to share, but did you ever have any challenges on the racial front, whether you were either in med school or even after the fact you graduated, that maybe you had to deal with or confront somebody about?
Yes. Unfortunately, I do deal with racism, but I think it's just something that you have to deal with professionally and spiritually. And what I mean by that is that you can't control how people act to you, but you can control your how you react to them. I mean, have I been called out of my name? How have I, you know, had looks? Have I people questioned my credentials? Have people told me requested another doctor? Yes, all the above. But you almost have to kind of think like, okay, am I going to get out of character? It's either me or you, you know? So it's just like, I'm not going to risk 13, 14 years of education because you want to get out of character, you know? And I think that's what I w and that's really what I was really kind of alluding to my first year when I was at the University of Alabama. It was a culture shock for me. I'm just going to be honest, you know, coming from the North, you know, I was called Yankee. I was called all types of names, and I was just like, what is going on here? You know, the culture was different, but it was a time of growth. And I know this is a professional cast, but I mean, this is a time for me to, you know, just kind of speak on God. That was a time
Yes,
for
please
me
do.
to really just pray and ask the Lord to show you yourself areas that you need to work on, and how and who to trust, You know, I think that's when, mm-hmm. when you have the Holy Spirit will give you the spirit of discernment to say, okay, Lord, show me this room. Who is my friend? Who's not my friend? Lord, allow me to give me when to speak and when not to speak. You know,
that's good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to kind of go churchy on you guys, but I think especially in this day and age where, you know, we have some people in leadership who are promoting violence, who are promoting racism and things of that sort, mm-hmm. that's going to be a time to say, hey, before we not wrestle against flesh and blood.
That's right.
Against principalities and wickedness in high places. And you have to be aware of that, you know?
Yes.
So really, you just have to put your spiritual armor on, put your helmet of salvation on, put your shield of faith, your breastplate of righteousness, your shoes shod with the gospel of peace, and your loins girded with truth. And that's when you kind of go out and realize, okay, I'm not fighting against you. I'm fighting the spirit or the, you know, spirits.
Yes.
It's a spirit.
Could be more than one.
And you really have to, exactly. And you have to love that individual, you know, still do yes. your job. So that's really, and that's something that I'm still working on, you know, and it's so funny wearing these masks has mm-hmm. really, really helped you because it also a lot is sometimes, you know, you have to, it kills your facial expressions, but
yes.
to answer your question, yes, I do. But that's okay. where, you know, you have to lean and depend on God and then also have an outlet. You know, mm-hmm. working out is a stress reliever for me. You know, a lot of times I'm stressed out, I'm tired, I want to quit like just everybody else. And then that's when I'll go play basketball or I'll go take a trip in a heartbeat.
Okay. And we're going to talk about that next.
Mm-hmm. You know, go take a trip or, you know, just go on the, if you don't like run on the treadmill, but sometimes I just don't like to be outside, you know, because of the mm-hmm. weather conditions, but just go bust out 2-3 miles and I will feel so much better afterwards. So.
I love it. And it's healthy for you too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, what you said, I love the realness. And so everybody that's listening, like I said, I've known Dr. Chance. We grew up together, and the humility that you hear, that what she's sharing about that we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, mm-hmm. that comes from her foundation. Shout out to her parents who are pastoring. So that anointing you just felt. Yeah, that came from her foundation. So shout out to Bishop Chance and Lady Chance.
Yes.
So speaking of trips, I've been wanting to ask you this. With your busy schedule, and I know you are swamped, especially right now in a pandemic, how do you find the time to travel to these amazing places like Las Vegas and all these places?
Well, honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. I prayed to the Lord back when I was actually third year medical school, because that's when you actually get on rotations in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And back then, and here's the thing. That's why you have to be careful. The Lord will give you the desires of your heart. And so
yes.
when God closes the door, don't fight him on that. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is because I remember my third year of medical school and I told the Lord, I said, look, I'm tired of getting up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. We're like, mm-hmm. it was like 4 o'clock and be no, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. I had to be there at 5 and leaving this hospital from 5 a.m. and not leaving until maybe 6, 7 p.m. at night. And I said, Lord, this ain't for me. And, you know, and I said, Lord, I want to make some nice chunk of change.
Yeah.
I don't want to work every day.
Yes.
I don't. Yes. I told the Lord, I said, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I do want to be a doctor and see patients, but I don't want to work every day.
Amen.
So, and just kind of going back to what I said earlier, the God closed that door for me to be a surgeon. And he was really answering my prayer. So I had, for whatever reason, at that particular point, I wanted to be a cardiothoracic surgeon, but God closed that door. And mm-hmm. now that I'm more in primary care, my schedule is a little more flexible.
Mm-hmm.
I see, like, wow, God, you answered my prayer back when I was a third year medical student before I even knew what I really wanted to do.
Right.
So with the job that I have now, we have a schedule. I don't work every day. I work about maybe four days out of the week. But it does include some weekends, but I'll have maybe 3 days or so to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it just depends. I have to look at the schedule, look at the month. But sometimes I'll get 3 days in a row, you know. Mm-hmm. So if I work like 4 days, you know, back to back to back, but then I'll get like a 3-day weekend or something like that. And then me, I'll take advantage of that 3-day weekend. Like when, for instance, when I went to Vegas, I was off a Saturday, Sunday, and a Monday. So what I did was I took the earliest flight Atlanta had available and I flew out at like 7 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning, and Vegas is like 3 hours behind Atlanta. So I landed in Vegas at like 8:30.
Wow.
So, Vegas was so quiet. You know, I took about an hour, 2 hour nap, and I had all day Saturday, Sunday, and I left in the afternoon Monday morning. So that's like a 2-day getaway.
Yeah.
Some people might feel like those trips are rushed, but me personally, I kind of like get in and get out because I don't really necessarily like to spend a week there because my attention span will kind of get a little, it drains. But it's just like, hey, if you have a 3-4 day weekend, or it only takes 3-4 days.
Yeah. And
also living by a major airport also helps too, because it limits the amount of connections.
Exactly. And you know, what that shows me too, is that you have to be intentional about having that balance. Cause like you said, with seeing patients back to back and just all the, I'm sure the paperwork and the insurance and all the things that comes with the career, it's so good that you can get away. Like you said, even if it's for 2 or 3 days.
Right. Right.
Great. So I kind of want to end with this. You've been sharing some really good nuggets, and I know everyone listening, especially those that are wherever they are on their path to a career in medicine, I know they're gleaning from your wisdom, but I kind of want to end with this. So let's say someone is listening and, you know, they're in the thick of it, and maybe they're starting to feel like you were feeling in medical school. They're just like, I don't know if this is worth it. I'm just not sure. I'm tired. I'm stressed. You know, what would you say to that person?
I would say the race is not given to the swift, but to those who endure to the end.
Amen.
That's and I would good. Say that, and another thing too is that I think Mary said this song, you know, nobody said the road would be easy, but he didn't bring you this far to leave you.
Yes. That's it.
And then too, you know, I just have to also say this one thing is that, you know, God did not give you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You know, so the enemy is going to come in, send distractions, send fear, send doubt. But that's when you have to be, you know, strong in your faith. And that's when you have to really get your prayer life together, you know?
Yes, yes.
and that's when you also just trust God. And another thing is that, it is so imperative because my parents said I was like, had some blasphemy moments, and I was a hot mess after I had graduated medical school because I was really upset because you know, you can also name it and claim it and it's yours and turn around 3 times and all this other stuff. And I just knew I was going to be a surgeon. And when that didn't happen, I was so devastated about that, but don't fight God, you know, when things don't necessarily go your way.
Yes.
So really just Joel Embiid from the Philadelphia Sixers says this, trust the process, because at the end, or when things are kind of unfolding, you see, oh, that's why that happened. You know?
Yes.
So now I love it. I have the opportunity to have 2-3 days, 3-4, maybe 2-4 days, take a little trip, hop on a plane to go somewhere.
And I love it, you know, because I know God, like you said, answered that prayer for you before you even, you know, kind of knew. But you're such an example for all of us. And whether someone is going into being a nurse practitioner, whether they're going into be a physician or something else, you know, similar, is that it's OK to take breaks. It's OK to go have fun, you know, wholesome, you know, something, you know, wholesome to do. And it's OK to also care about your health as well. So right. You have definitely been the model for that. And I'm excited, just personally, I'm excited to see what happens next in your life and the next achievements that are coming and the interviews and everything else, the next committees you're going to sit on. And who knows, you might have to take over that CDC. You might have to seriously, you know, just see how things go. But I'm excited to see what you do next.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Ashley, so much for having me. I really enjoyed myself.
Thank you. Thank you. I look forward to, of course, we're going to have to do this again next time.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, that wraps up another podcast episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you know someone who needs these great tips and information, please share. Also, please follow us on social media. On Twitter, it's at Prep, PREPFOR College. On Facebook, we're at Prep, the number 4 College. On Instagram, we're at Prep, FOUR College. Also, you can visit our website to get more information on upcoming classes and courses that we have, which is at www.scholarshipsuccessschool.com. Again, that is www.scholarshipsuccessschool.com. And until next time, stay safe and be well.